As Corky already said, we are glad you're here, and especially if you're visiting with us. It's always good to be able to study together. This evening, I'd like to do something a little bit different as we begin the lesson. I'd like for us to think about a newsflash. A lot of times we see things on the news, and we are, especially now that we have the internet, we're bombarded with all kinds of information. For years, you could check out at the grocery store and read the tabloids, and you could find out all kinds of interesting stuff. And the thing is that so many people think that if they see it on television or if they read it somewhere, then it has to be true. And so they accept whatever they read, and they say, well, I know it's true because I read it so-and-so. Well, in one of the tabloids, it said there were some aliens who took a man's cat. They later returned it, and it then had powers of ESP, and it could predict the future. When I read that, the only thing that I got out of it was that this proves that there is intelligence somewhere outside this world because they returned the cat. If you have a cat, I'm sorry. But how ridiculous can you get? And yet people actually believe this kind of stuff. Recently, I read that Kim Kardashian and her fiancé are negotiating a prenuptial agreement. Now, this is a headline. And I thought, man, isn't that marvelous? If you didn't know, she recently got engaged and she got a $2 million diamond for engagement ring. But she makes a lot more money than he does. And so she said, we got to have a prenuptial agreement. Her daddy, in case you didn't know, her daddy was O.J. Simpson's lawyer. He's dead now. But Robert Carson, he was the lawyer that befriended O.J. He and O.J. were personal friends. He had him come stay at his house after O.J.'s wife was killed. And so O.J. stayed there, and he was one of the lawyers and so on. But Kim makes a lot more money than her fiancé does. And so she said, I know my daddy would want me to negotiate a prenuptial agreement. And so that is, in fact, what they're doing. Another news flash, Leanne Rimes defends her abs. It's not her bones. She recently got married. She was down in one of the islands, and she posted a picture of herself in a bikini on the Twitter page. And immediately people started saying she's sick. There's something wrong with Leanne because you can see her bones, and she's either bulimic or she is anorexic or something is bad wrong with this girl. And the next day she said, no, it's not. She said, I work out with weights all the time. I exercise, and that's my abs, you see. That's not bones. And so I thought, again, that's an interesting headline we need to know about. But the worst news of all, and this one really blew my mind. I hated to read this one, but Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox had been best friends forever, and they had a falling out. And that really upset me. I was sorry to hear about that. There was another one that proves how untrue things are. Recently, there was a headline that said, that Jennifer Lopez was the most beautiful woman in the world. And I knew that couldn't be true because whoever wrote that obviously had never seen Diane. And if they had, they voted her the most beautiful woman in the world. If you want to know, we've been married a long time. And if you want to know what she's thinking, I can tell you. Some of you may be asking questions about all this. You may be like, who cares? What difference does it make? And yet, and I think it's illustrated, there was a guy who lives here in Athens, a friend of mine, and he was out working on his bird feeder one day, and a photographer from the Athens News Courier stopped and said, can I take some pictures of you working on this bird feeder? He said, well, I reckon. She said, well, we're going to post it and put it in the paper. And his reply was, if that's news, then you've got problems. And yet, that's exactly what every one of these are. If that's news, we got some real problems in this world. But all of this is just simply to illustrate, to draw attention to the question of, what is our focus? Because there are some people that those stories are extremely important, and they really do care. What is our focus? What is our attention? What is our love? What are our priorities? And these are questions that I believe we need to be asking, really asking ourselves. In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 through 17, John says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, he says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. I want to think about some of the things in the world. As we think about things in the world, we might ask the question, why not? Why do we not love the things in the world? Well, first of all, Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. In John chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. You're going to choose one or the other. And then Jesus said you can't serve both of them. In Luke chapter 16, there in verses 14 and 15, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things that Jesus was saying. They were scoffing at him, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Jesus said, you hold on to all of these things, and you think money is extremely important, and you think material possessions is what it's all about. But what you don't understand is the very things that you hold in honor are things that God considers as despicable. And so we need to see the difference in the priorities that God has and sometimes we have. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21, there was someone in the crowd who said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Now, if Jesus ever demonstrated wisdom, it was right here. Because if you want to really get yourself in a mess, you start trying to help somebody divide a family inheritance, and you'll get in some serious trouble in a hurry. Jesus said, who made me judge or arbitrator? But he gets to the heart of the matter. He said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when a man has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Even if we have a whole lot of stuff, that's not really what our life is. And so he told them a parable saying, a certain man, rich man, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build large ones, and there I'll store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? And here's Jesus' conclusion. So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, what really matters as far as things are concerned is do we use the things that God has given us to His glory. And so in 1 John 2:17, He says, this world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. How do we look at things? Is that what our life is all about? Is it just a matter of what can I accumulate? Or do we really look at what God has given us as possessions to be able to be used as good stewards in His service and for His will? But he says, John says, do not love the world. Now, in our text, he says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world's passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, as we look at that, we see that we either love the world or we love God. We don't do both at once. We can't do that. The world, as it is used here, is described by its lust. Now, what we see is we see the lust of the eyes. We see the lust of the flesh. We see the boastful pride of life. And this is the world that John is talking about here. He says, this is the world. You remember Paul talking to the Corinthians? He said, I'm not telling you that you are to get out of the world. He said, because you're in this world. But he said, don't be of this world. And this is the way the world is used many times in the Bible, is in the sense of these lusts. And so we have these desires, and that's all the word lust means. It just means a very strong desire. That's all the word means. In fact, sometimes in the Bible, the original word that's translated lust is used for a good desire, something that we are supposed to love, something we're supposed to like, want, and desire. And so this desire that we have that's created from our eyes, from what we see, he says we need to be careful that it doesn't lead us in the wrong way, that it doesn't cause us to do things that are wrong. The lust of the flesh, that is, what we enjoy. Remember Moses in Hebrews chapter 11? It says that he would rather be counted as with Jesus for a short time rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What was he saying? He's saying that these pleasures that we have, these lusts of the flesh, we can enjoy for a short time, but we need to understand that they're just for a short time. But that's what the world is. It's the things that we see and that we want and we desire and the flesh that we indulge in, things that are wrong, things that are sinful. And the boastful pride of life, it's when we begin to look at ourselves and think how good we are and how great we are and what we have accomplished, and instead of understanding that everything that we have is from the hand of God. And so this boastful pride of life. So he says, do not love the world. He says one of the reasons is because these things are not from God. Rather, they are from Satan, the god of this world. And so all of these things that are a part of this world that are sinful are brought to us by Satan. And he is the one who tries to entice us to indulge in and engage in and to be a part of all of these things. And it is not from God. And this is what John says. He says, these things are not from God. These didn't come from God. Rather, they come from Satan. They're not from God the Father. Remember what James says in James 1:27? We very often use this passage to talk about taking care of widows and orphans and so on. But look at what this passage says. He says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father to visit orphans and widows in their distress. And then he says, and keep oneself unstained by the world. In other words, we are to be morally pure. We're not to become like this world around us. We're not to let this world taint us and tarnish us, but rather we are to be separate. Paul says, come out from among them and be separate. And so we see in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The idea of being conformed here is the same word that is used when you mold wax. You take wax and you heat it up and you pour it in a mold and you shape it to whatever shape you want it to be. That's the idea of being conformed. And so he says, don't be like the world around us and don't let the world shape us and form us, but rather we are to be transformed. And that word is the word that, from which we get the word metamorphosis. It's a complete change. We're to be completely changed, so that we become more like God. So where is our heart? Is our heart set on the things of this world? Is our heart set on this world and the just what we have and the things we enjoy? Where is our treasure being stored? Are we laying up treasures in heaven or are our treasures here on earth? Where's our real love life? Do we love the things of this world? Do we love this world? Do we love the pleasures of this world and the amassing whatever fortune we can amass? Is that what really our life is all about? What are our priorities? What do we do that really matters? What's important? You know, it's always interesting to watch people and their priorities. And they say, well, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that, but they go do this and that and something else. And sometimes as an outsider of that person, we look and we wonder, why in the world would they do this instead of doing this? Because this is so much more important. Well, obviously it's not to them at the time. And yet, what are our priorities? Are our priorities set by God? Or are our priorities set by this world? Set by the things of this world. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the priority Jesus gives. He said, put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Doing what's right, serving God, That should be the most important thing in our lives. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He says, you focus in and set your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. You fix your eyes on that goal. And you don't turn loose from it. You stay focused on it. I know I've used this illustration before, but I think it really does illustrate in a very vivid way that we can all appreciate. Way back when I was very young, I was mowing a yard for a company I worked for, and they had me out mowing, and there was this old black gentleman that was out there mowing, and he didn't move real fast. You had to put a stake beside him and go back and check every once in a while to see if he had moved, but he's sort of slow, but he gave me good advice. He said, "Robert, I'm going to tell you how to mow straight." I said, "All right, tell me how to mow straight." He said, "You pick out something at the end of the row and don't ever take your eye off of it. And just mow straight for that. If you'll just keep focused on that. Don't look at the sides. Don't look where you've been mowing. Don't look at anything else." He said, "Just look straight ahead. If you look where you have been mowing and you use that as the standard, it doesn't take long and you get off. If you pick out something at the end and you focus on it, you'll stay there." You know, one of the things that carpenters do is very often you'll see an experienced carpenter and they've got to have five boards cut exactly the same. I'll tell you what I would do as a dummy, not knowing a whole lot about that kind of stuff, even though I have built some houses. The fact is, what I would probably do is measure one and then I'd take that one and use it for the next one, cut it and use that for the next one. You know what happens when you do that when you get to the fifth one? It ain't the same as the first one. Because you've used your standard as the standard. You've used your own measurement, and that's not right. You have to measure each one of them and mark it and then cut it, and they'll be right. And then what happens is many times in our lives even, we begin to think and reason, and we somehow allow our own thinking and our own understanding to become the standard instead of God. And so rather than fixing our eyes on Jesus, we fix our eyes on something else. And so He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus in down there at the end. Keep your eyes focused. In Colossians 3, and verses 1 through 14, he says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth." He says, don't ever take your eyes off of it. Keep your mind and your heart and your goal as heaven. Don't ever turn loose of that sight. For if you have died with Christ, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll also be revealed to Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you once also walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Now put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, man. But Christ is all and is in all. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep our minds set on the things that are above. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know what the real news flash is? The real news that really matters is that God loves us. And that He gave His Son to die for us, for our sin, so that we might have eternal life. And in eternity, live with Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, or His one and only, His unique Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We must in turn, because God loves us, love Him above all else. God is to be our number one priority. In Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then He said, "This is the great and foremost commandment." This is the one commandment that is above everything else, is that we love God with all of our being. So where is your love? Where is our heart? Where is our treasure? We need to come to Jesus and make Him Lord of our life. We need to confess our faith in Him and repent of our sins. Be baptized in His name. If you've not done that, then we certainly would encourage you to come to Jesus tonight as we stand.